Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to This Week in Testing. This is episode 90, I believe. It's Friday, the 16th of May, 2025. Thank you for joining us today. For those joining live, do say hello in the chat. My name is Rosie Sherry. I am the founder and CEO of Ministry of Testing. This is my first time leading and co-hosting properly without Simon, so do bear with us. Today I am honored to be co-hosting with Mariam Safi. Mariam, welcome to This Week in Testing. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you, Rosie. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm slightly nervous for leading this session, making sure I've got all the settings right, and I'm trying to say all the right things. But yes, I am good and happy to be here on this sunny Friday, dialing in from Brighton in the UK. So, for those unfamiliar with This Week in Testing, just a quick reminder that this is an MOT event, and we do have a code of conduct in place. And I'm hoping someone will drop that in the chat as we're speaking. And This Week in Testing, it's basically an opportunity just for us to gather, to get together. Simon likes to say, have a little chit chat, share what we've been up to, give shout outs. It's an opportunity for us just to take a few moments to get together and connect and talk about what we've all been up to. I think it's quite easy for us to kind of get thrown in, dragged along with everything that's going on in our weeks, and just taking a moment to talk to each other and find out what's going on is a really nice thing to do, especially from a community perspective. So, Mariam, how's your week in testing been?
My week has been great. So I am, but before sharing my week, I wanted to say that this is an official Ministry of Testing event. It is recorded. The event is recorded, so you can find it later today on MOT podcast. And I don't know, you mentioned, I think you mentioned the code of conduct, Rosie, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. I didn't pay attention. Sorry. So, how may have thanks for asking me about my week. So, I'm super excited to share that I have officially joined the Epic Test Quest adventure with Christina Pinto. Up until now, I was part of the Design Heroes group, which was already an amazing experience for me. But now I get to be part of the internal group, and honestly, I couldn't be happier. For those who might not know what this startup is all about, we are building a tool to solve one of the biggest pain points in testing, the slow, complex, and the siloed process of test management. So if you have ever felt like test planning and coordination could be way more efficient, you are going to love what we are working on. So as part of my role, I'm helping validate some key assumptions, mainly around who our target users and which platform would serve them best. And I'm not the only one. I have two amazing partners too. So be prepared. I'll be reaching out to many of you to chat, ask questions, and learn from your experience. Your insights are incredibly valuable, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts. So that's it for me. But speaking of pain points and the test management, I would love to get more thoughts on this thought. Is that something the audience struggle with too? But before that, how have you before how the, handing out inviting other people to on stage, Rosie? I want to ask you. I would love to know what caught your eye this week and in the Metaverse, and how your week in testing been.
Thanks, Marianne. I'm a big fan of Christine. Hey, Christine. And test management, I think, is super interesting as well. I started a club post a short while back about just trying to be a bit spicy, I guess, with the idea of like, is test management dead? Emily Connors just said in the chat, I read that as dread. And that was definitely a vibe that came up in the comments, which is quite funny because, I think lots of testers dread test case management, right? It's like, they don't particularly look forward to it. It feels not very exciting. And I guess like after speaking to a few people, just kind of more face to face or virtually face to face, a few people have been saying that, is that they feel like it's not a very efficient way or good way to manage tests. And maybe it's just something that's dragged on from the old school way of testing that we still have to keep doing it because that's how it's been done. So yeah, I mean, generally, I think test case management is something that I hope can be transformed over the coming months and years. And, maybe AI has potential to help support that. I'm not too sure, but I don't like to put myself across as an AI expert because I am not. But yeah, I think I'd love to see test case management be reinvented. So yeah, that's my thoughts. It'd be great if anyone in the audience would like to come up on stage shortly to talk about the topic. I'm sure we can have some good discussions around that. For me personally, I guess this week I was at Leeds Atelier as a sponsor, as an attendee. And we've sponsored it for years now, and it's a great community event, a free community event up in Leeds. Gwen and Ash have been great leaders kind of pushing that through. I know there's a whole team behind it as well. But yeah, it was good to go up. The venue was great. They had a new venue, the Tetley venue. The sun was shining. And I guess as Ministry of Testing, I was there with Sarah Deary, and we were just trying to like take photos, speak to people. There's some people that I hadn't spoken to in years, and it was just great to catch up and see people again. And we created a collection of photos as well. So if anyone was there on the day and wants to upload any photos, they can go to ministryoftesting.com/memories and upload them and ideally tag it with Leeds-Atelier, and then we can add it into the collection. So it's one handy link for people to have a look. I'll drop the link in a moment if no one else does in the chat. But yeah, it was the event itself, great, good event. And it was good to meet people as well. And, there were a few people there saying, oh, you're the Rosie Sherry and stuff like that, which was quite funny. I always feel a bit embarrassed by that kind of stuff. But it's good. It's good to get up further mid north of the UK. And then, yeah, I guess like other things I've been working on this week is trying to get the word out about the leadership stuff we're doing. So we're calling it Lead with Quality. And the idea around that really is trying to get across a bit more that at Ministry of Testing, a large amount of the work we do is what I currently classify as research. So every conversation we have, every event we have, we're really taking the kind of angle of we're trying to understand the quality engineering and testing space better. We're trying to understand the wider ecosystem better. We're trying to log data, log insights, write trends, write articles, create courses. And as we've been doing this, I guess, more intensely over the past 18 months or so, and kind of doubling down on like the research as a focus, one of the things that kept coming up is that there's a lack of things. Things is probably the wrong word. There's just a lackness of things for leadership, for quality and testing people, not just for leaders in quality and testing, but also just for general leadership across tech about like what is the best way to lead with quality. Lead with a quality mindset. What does quality even look like? And that topic kept coming up time and again. And we feel like we've been addressing a lot of education side from the, I wouldn't call it the lower end, but the more junior end. So like we've got test automation certifications now, we've got software testing essential certification, and that's all kind of like trying to help people level up their skills, which is valid. But then we feel like at the other end, where is it all going? How can we support leaders to direct them? How can we create a space for them to feel supported? Because we were speaking to a few leaders and they were like, there's nowhere to go to, and there's no one really talking about quality engineering in depth. And they feel a bit lost in their own little silos. So it's like we're trying to help them get out of their silos, help talk about the things that matter to them, and basically see where it goes. And we're doing that with a one-day event prior to Test Bash. And then in addition to that, we're doing some online things. We're trying to gather in a smaller, more intentional space, which is more moderated for leaders. And so we're making sure that everyone in the online space is either attending the event or is a professional member, plus they have a senior type role, just to ensure that the people that we're speaking to are leaders in the quality space. And then we'll see where that goes. We have a few kind of recording conversations coming up, and that's what probably the first thing that we're going to start with is having conversations with leaders and see where that leads us. And but every conversation is basically research. So for me, I'm very much wanting to ask the questions about what does testing look like in people's in organizations, and try to build a bit better picture of that for everyone. Yeah, I'm quite excited about that, and I'm being forced to have those conversations with people. So I will be recording those, which is good for me to also get a bit out of my comfort zone, I guess. That was a bit of a long one. I hope that made sense for everyone.
Yeah, that seemed amazing, Rosie. And it's true that leaders can feel siloed. They have so much responsibility and so many responsibilities, and they can and the quality may slip. I think this day could be a great opportunity for them to remember that leading with quality. They can lead. They that can they can lead with quality, and that will make things perhaps easier for them. So thank you for sharing this, Rosie. And let's get. I think it's time for us to get some people up on stage, as they might like to comment on that, or they could share something else. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'd love to see people raising their hand to come up on stage. So I believe there's a way, if you're in the browser, to raise your hand. If you're on mobile, I think you might have to drop a comment in the chat and we will invite you up on stage. If anyone would like to come up on stage, we would welcome you to come up and talk about anything we've been talking about, or just what's been going on in your week in testing.
So the floor is open to you, and I have to say that is voice. This is remind you that this is a voice-only event, so no need to turn on your cameras. Hopefully that lowers the barrier a bit. It certainly helped me when I first joined. So you there? Do you see people raising their hands? Because I can't see, I think.
I can't see anything at the moment. Oh, I see one person, I
Okay,
think.
so I encourage you to if you can't
Salman.
your raise your hand, you can put on a message for us. Perhaps you, Christine? Okay. Salman, it's yes. Salman is on.
Hello, I'm Salman. I'm from India. Hope you are hearing me correctly.
Salman,
Finding it very hard to
we can't hear
hear
you.
you.
We can't hear you. The sound seems a little bit like it's echo. There is echo.
What about now? Is it better?
It is better, yes. I think. Muffled a little bit. Muffled. Thank you, Emily.
Okay, so this is the first time for me speaking speaking testing. Let me just check my audio settings.
Well, that sounds better.
Hi, that sounds better now, Salman.
Okay. Thank you very much. So I'm Salman, I'm from Tunisia, and this is my first time speaking in this weekend testing. I'm trying to follow you, but it's not obviously for me to attend every Friday meetup. So regarding me, I'm not really engaged in testing, but as a general manager of a software development company, I have a team of 15 people who are working in testing. And just to talk a bit about what happened this week, I have a team that are working in mobile testing. And let's say it has been maybe 5 or 6 years that we haven't had a project for mobile software testing. And the appointment of our client was to use Azure DevOps test plan and the pipeline and to create automation testing developed in C Sharp. So all of this are things that we haven't done before. And I try to follow and to see what our team are doing, since it is a new project for us and the client is an important client for us too. As an IT person, before becoming a manager, I was first of all curious to know how my team is dealing with this situation. But also as a general manager, maybe I was a bit trying to have everything in control. And in some manner, I start to feel myself starting sort of micromanagement of the team. So I kept a distance from the team and give them more room. For example, I try to be with them in every meeting they have with the client. But this week, I decided to not to participate to the meeting with the client. And I have a very feedback from the client after they advanced in their work and they done a few demos about what they done. So just to continue about what Rosie said about leadership, maybe sometimes manager try to have everything in control, but it is sometimes better to delegate the leadership to everyone in the team, and they most of the time may surprise us. So that's mainly what I want to share with everybody today. So congratulations for my team for all what they have done. Even I think there is no one here, but that's the message I want to share. So as a general manager, sometimes we need to have everything in control, but delegating and giving our team more space, they may free their innovation and creativity.
Thank you, Salman, for jumping on stage and joining for your first time. It's very cool. But yeah, it's interesting to hear about it from the leadership angle. I guess what pops into my mind is like you can have leadership as a role, but also anyone can lead as an expert with ideas and actions. So, you know, maybe there's various angles to thinking about leadership. But Emily O'Connor is in the chat and she has a question and she says, do you manage testers? And I'm always curious what the management structure looks like in other organizations. Are you able to share anything about what your structure looks like or what your approach looks like or what you find works for you?
Yeah, indeed. So we have about 15 people working in testing. They're not all of them engineering. Some of them are coming from different fields, from accounting, electronic, but they stay very well with the testing, even with automation testing. And they are structured in different teams regarding the requirement of the project. We have a testing team lead who is coaching everybody. He's the accountable person, but every team are autonomous, let's say. So they do what they think it is best for the project and for their work. And the team lead is just to advise them and to identify if they need something or if something maybe may go wrong. She will advise them since the team lead is so. I hope I answered your question. So they have a different team, and the team are organizing a project of technologies, and the team lead is just there as a coach more than as a manager or as a leader.
Thank you for that. That's interesting also with the coaching angle. I think that's definitely a bit more of a trend these days, with taking a coaching angle rather than a top-down kind of management approach. Thank you for that, Salman.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So I'm going to jump over to Christine now, who's on stage. We were potentially going to talk about something related to AI and test management. Hello, Christine.
Hello, Rosie. Hello, Miriam. Hello, everyone. First out, big shout out to Miriam, because what she didn't mention, she also had a technical interview this week. And I know that because we had a lot of communication this week. So shout out to you. I find that it's very important, because I also know job hunting is still a topic a lot of people are having problems with right now. So definitely shout out to Miriam, but congrats to that as well. And then, yeah, definitely I can talk about AI and coding and test management, especially vibe coding, because I tested a lot of vibe coding this week. But first, my week in testing was full. On Monday, we quadrupled. So not just Miriam came on board, also five other people, three interns and two other testing amazing people. I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure I can say it, Eamon and Preeti, who also will help us reach out more testers, because in the stage where we are right now, as I would love to jump into MVP building, we have to clarify a lot of assumption, because if you don't know why you build a product, and then you also don't know why it works or why it doesn't work, and then it just is not a good product. So we're connecting to a lot of people, and Miriam will reach out to you, as well as me, as Pretty, as Eamon. And then on Tuesday, we had a very amazing Ministry of Testing meetup in Berlin. I gave the talk about the job hunting and what the QA secret sauce is in interviews, and how you can show up by yourself and basically lead with emotions and confidence, but not like every buzzword in the world. So I gave that talk also in, oh God, when was I in London, Rosie? I think April was. So it was the same talk we did this year in Berlin. And this time I also took on four on my MOT ambassador role. So I also give that a very awesome pitch. They like that pitch deck with Buck and everything about what the Motaverse is doing. And I think it was very good. We gained, I think, three or four new members, which also were brave enough, because we introduced the 99 second talks here, and we had five people coming up on stage, which all are now earned the community star, which I find super awesome. And I will keep leading this, because I believe our community is so amazing and it's growing. And I'm so glad that I could give that to them, because I think now they will also be more engaged in this, and also now felt personally how awesome it is to be part of our cool community. So thank you, Rosie, and also Alexandria, to give us as meetup organizers also the possibility to call all these people, because I really believe that's very good. And then I have one of my interns is a prompt engineer. So he is doing a lot of vibe coding and AI coding, which is okay, but it can lead to some interesting things. So I was testing his code yesterday. And yeah, as I also work a lot with ChatGPT, Claude, DeepSeek, and all the other ones, because I work a lot in the business part and I just don't know so much about that. But also when it comes on to like code reviews, I'm looking how you can enhance this with it. Vibe coding, yeah, you have my code review. My commit was, I think, 37 files changed. And I was looking through this and was like, oh my God. Can you imagine if you now are in the developing team and one of your developers or like also your test engineers is a vibe coder? Like, I already don't like this word vibe coding, but basically creates so many files. It's like what I always said, these AI code bomb is coming, and like AI is producing just so much code and sometimes also not necessary code. So that was, it took me quite a while to go through this. And it was like, again, is it really needed? Some of the stuff I saw that's like, you could have optimized it if you would know how to actually, in the beginning, program JavaScript. So it's very interesting, because I still believe like what I also reiterate this week, and it just comes up, I'm not sure if anybody have followed, like Klarna is rehiring the humans. I was very annoyed, very fascinated by it. They had, I think, 1.5 years ago, which also for me this week in testing as well, 1.5 years ago, they replaced, I think, 22% of their people with AI agents. And now this week, the CEO came out, yeah, maybe that wasn't such a good idea because, yes, AI agents lead to bad quality. So I still believe AI will not replace testers because this just shows this AI need to be tested better. It needs to be better set up. And yeah, it's just been a very interesting week. And now I think we should open up to any questions if anybody also want to hear more about. I heard about vibe testing as well. I'm not sure if anybody tried out vibe testing yet. I find it super interesting because that is when you work basically with these, I think also MCP and Playwright and some automation tools and basically tell the AI what it should test and then it scripts its own script. I had a look in this. But I have to say, like, because I'm writing automation scripts for, like, I don't know, 15 years or even more, I don't know. It's the code again. You look at this and you think about, so this is now, I think, 1,000 lines of code. I could have written it in 300. And then it's just the maintainability of these vibe, whatever we kind of call it, is, I find it challenging. I hope these models get a little bit better. But yeah, thank you so much for the interesting info. I want to open up the floor to you, Rosie. Have you tried out vibe testing yet?
Oh, I so want to do it, but I don't have time for any of that. Yeah. I'm so bogged down with all the other things. But yeah, I have so much to say from what you said. There's generally some comments in the chat that would be, I might read out a few in a second, but the Klarna thing that you mentioned, I actually wrote a trend piece last night and I included that as a little snippet in the trend piece, just kind of thinking about, like, you know, there's this whole trend towards AI being the magic solution, but if we're thinking about how we've been talking about quality and it's part of systems, it's like people are literally taking the humans out of the system without really thinking of the consequences. And a while back, I was reading Seth Godin's latest book, something, it's about plans, strategy. It's about strategy. This is strategy. And he talks a lot about systems and it's like, you can't force the systems. And if you pull stuff out of the system, it will break. Yeah, and you can't necessarily force things because you think it's a good idea. And I think that's like where AI is at the moment. It's like, yes, it has a lot of potential, but too many people are moving too quickly. And maybe as quality professionals, like our role, the most important thing we can do is protect our businesses and products to not take such crazy risks because it ends up reducing the quality bar in all of this. So it's definitely like interesting, and you know, everything that people, especially companies, contact me about, it's all AI related. It's like a new product that's launched and it's got AI or is AI, and I'd love to find more time to spend on AI, but unfortunately, like directly, I just don't have capacity to experiment. So yeah, we need people like you to tell us away. I'd love an article on vibe testing, for example. I think
I can try that out. It's just, be glad that you don't try out so many tools because I try them out and I love, like, this. You cannot, and I have to, because I'm next week I'm speaking in the Istanbul testing conference about AI and hallucinations. And I thought it gotten better. I really thought the model's gotten better, but I will tell you this now. Aaron spent this week four full days analyzing interview data. And he started this whole process with ChatGPT, asking ChatGPT, okay, how do you want this? Like, basically, because what I'm learning now a lot about YouTube, you should treat AI like your coworker. So if they do mistakes, you have to also teach them that they get better. Okay, I agree with this, that can help. But we did this. And after 4 days, because I was busy with a lot of things this week and I didn't have time to, after 4 days, we looked into this data because I did all the interviews. So he had just from the data. So I read through this and I was like, I don't remember anybody saying that. And then I read through this like, this sounds so weird. And then we looked into this and you cannot imagine what hallucination ChatGPT made up. And in ways, and that's the problem, hey, that the AI, it's just not that it's too smart. It just sounds so confident. And it makes up these hallucinations in a way that even he has done, and he looked into this data and he was still convinced that it would work. And it was so, it's just incredible how these hallucinations are leading us. And it's like, yeah, vibe testing, I find it very, also like you said, very tricky because every product, like a product should not have as a value proposition AI. That's not what a product should be. That's why also we don't say our value proposition is AI. That's stupid. That's not a value proposition. It's a thing, a vehicle that you hopefully present something better than just AI, because that's what everybody's doing. You present a better solution and enhance your algorithms in the end, because real AI is also not there. And it's just, yeah, it's, I think you put it on the right. We as professionals have to also try to protect our products, our company, to not just jump on this hype. I definitely believe AI can enhance our productivity. But what I saw this week, we lost 40% of our week just by really trying to enhance our productivity with ChatGPT and just not having the, we learned now the lessons. We now make smaller tests that it's faster and feedback loop that we can see the hallucinations. But we're using these AI tools since over a year and I still got caught by this hallucination. It just shows how tricky this is. And I would love to hear also, what are you using right now as any AI supported system? I switched to Claude now because of this, because I got so angry. But yeah, vibe testing. We should also make an article about that, I believe, as well.
Yeah, I don't know if Mariam has any thoughts that she wants to add to this conversation.
Yes, Salman, go on.
Yeah, if I may add something, I should just share my thoughts about testing our teams and give them more room to feed their creativity. I was also thinking about the AI as a member of our teams, but I'm not yet prepared to consider AI as a member of my team that I can really trust for today. But the time will come and the AI will be trustful tool and a member of our teams. And I think that time will before becoming a general manager, I have experience with developing software, and I have used several tools that generate code even before and with them artificial intelligence. And let's say generated code that may help us producing software quickly, maybe for proof of concept, maybe for creating a demo, but to develop something that you will share with people or that you will use in production in critical fields, I think code must be reviewed by people or maybe also by artificial intelligence. And the side effect of generated code is how to maintain this code that is generated. If you want to change something in your screen or in your workflow, will you re-explain to your AI all the new scenario, or just to call him to remember or to recall what you explained to him and what modification you want to add to this code? And by asking your artificial intelligence many updates to your code, how your code will become in the matter of size and robustness. So yes, that software generated code source, even with or without artificial intelligence, may help us going fast to create proof of concept. But when we're dealing with larger project, maybe we can use AI to help us to understand, to criticize what we already developed a part of our code. But as a human, we still need to review what is generated, and sometimes that take the same time to understand the code generated by artificial intelligence than the same time that you do to develop yourself the same code source. So those are my thoughts about generated code source and using AI for software development.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing that. But I can't comment on generating code for now. I'm not a coder. But I'm learning to code a little bit with AI, and that's something I know that AI is helping me with my training with Playwright and Claude. Claude is helping me with my Playwright training, so I'm grateful for that. Maybe it hallucinates and I don't have the knowledge yet to be critical a lot, but maybe I'll have a mentor to guide me for this. Enough talking about me. I see a lot of people waiting patiently to contribute. So Oli is already on stage. So Oli, the floor is yours if you want to.
Hello.
Yes.
Is that coming through?
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Hi, how are you doing? Yeah, go about my week. Yeah, it's been a good week. I will get onto the AI subject very briefly because it is interesting. But yeah, it's been a good week in test for me, mostly because I've had a bit of a breakthrough with communication with devs. I joined a new team 3 months ago, just over, and they're a great team. And I mean, communication wasn't like a big problem before, but we're working more closely together now, sharing testing, yeah, talking to each other about what we're going to test, how we're going to release, how we're going to break work down. So yeah, it's been a really good week on that front. And also to the point about test case management tools, at least, we had a good debate at work off the back of your post, Rosie. Yeah, so that was a really interesting topic. I'm kind of in the camp that's a bit wary of test case management tools because my experience isn't great. I found kind of just get in the way of getting stuff done. I'm not a big fan of writing really detailed test cases and all that jazz. And yeah, and on the AI front, I definitely agree. I've been using it as a good assistant for helping me to write automation because I'm learning. But as I get to something more complicated, I'll ask, like, oh, how do I do this? Or is this code right? And I have to check it and I first off make sure that I understand what it's telling me. I don't want to just put code in that I have no idea what it's doing. And even then it does hallucinate. Yeah, it will suggest something and then I'll say, oh, but why are you doing that? That doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work. Let's do something else. But, right, okay, cool. So yeah, it can't be trusted. And it was interesting to see about Klarna and them backpedaling. I think it was only less than 6 months ago they said they were going to, they got rid of a bunch of people, so it was a quick turnaround. And then the other point about maintainability of AI generated code on the A/B testing podcast, it was interesting hearing, I don't know if it's Brett or Brent, I'm going to say Brent, was saying about how he thinks code bases will be disposable. So essentially, a whole new code base could be generated essentially on each commit, I guess, which is an interesting take on it. Yeah, it goes completely against maintaining a code base, right? But maybe the whole way code bases are handled is going to change completely if AI does take off.
That sounds scary. How do you test a whole new code base? Scary. Wow. I'm really pleased that the test case management discussion like caused or, you know, led to like a internal debate. That's really cool to hear.
Yeah.
So like,
as well, because I think I didn't really, because the way that we like to work is we break the work down as small as possible. And so when it comes to testing, it's not like a massive deal. You don't have to write loads of test cases, but then other parts of the business, and also we're focusing more on automation, but other parts of the business aren't able to do the automation side of things and aren't able to break things down too small. So I do have lots of manual test cases. So it's interesting to see that they would definitely benefit from the test management tool and then understanding test coverage as well with it. But yeah, took up quite a good chunk of the day actually yesterday. Had some really beefy responses to read through and respond to.
I think it will be interesting with AI to see like what can AI take over from that perspective as we go forward. Like I've been trying to think of AI as like, or instead of like seeing test case management, seeing it as like AI is something that can help us with tasks, like even like pair testing, right? Like you mentioned, it's good to pair with AI, that AI helps you, you ask it questions. It's there instantly, even though it's not perfect. It's there as like a pair tester, a pair developer to help you get stuff done. I quite like that angle of AI at the moment. It's it seems manageable, but like the whole idea of like just quickly moving over to AI feels like such a headache and like operation nightmare, so much to maintain, you know, documentation wise, how do you make sense of it? You know, that's where my mind kind of starts to go with this AI hype.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the key word there, because something just doesn't add up when you've got these businesses saying we're not employing junior devs anymore or customer service people anymore because we've got AI. It's not there yet, and now they're starting to admit it, but it just didn't seem to add up. And even if you've got AI in a business, why would you replace a whole bunch of people? If you've got an AI that can do 700 people's worth of work, Karina was saying AI could do, if you can have that in addition to the people, you've got 700 people worth of work for the cost of presumably one or a few people, 10 people say, why not add that as an investment in the company to help it grow? It just seems like such a big jump to cut loads of people from your workforce. It seems kind of naive. Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, team.
Thank you, Ollie, for jumping on stage.
Hello, I'm going to drop off actually because I've got a call in a minute. But yeah, thanks for having me. It's been good chatting.
Likewise.
See you later.
Thank you.
I just wanted to build on something.
Yeah, sorry, Emily. I was going to say, I'll hand over to you and then to Mark. I'm conscious of time. And I also wanted to read out a few of the comments in the chat because there's quite a good few comments, but I'll leave that to the end. Over to you, Emily.
Cool, thank you. I wanted to build on something that Christine said just really quickly. So on ChatGPT, you can press this button called Deep Research, which is right underneath where you type in your prompt. And what that does is on the right-hand side, it opens up this bar called Activity while it's supposedly thinking about the answer to your question. And it shows the sources a lot more clearly. So that in your answer, you can kind of trace it back. So I asked a question on structuring a Playwright repo that needs to support lots of different base URLs. And it gave me sources to do with the Playwright documentation and running all the tests related to a particular structure or base URL and using the page object model to like reduce duplication. And then it linked off to Reddit, and I was like, oh, this is quite a weak source. But actually, it linked to a particular comment that had themselves provided references. And I never would have trusted the credibility of that source if I couldn't see exactly where it came from. Because when I read the answer originally, I was like, is that hallucinating an answer? But yeah, the other reason for wanting to join the stage was this week I got the opportunity to speak at Leeds Testing Atelier where Rosie was. The only good photo of me from that day was taken by the Ministry of Testing team. And in that, I talk about assumptions. And actually, I called out all my pictures were made by AI because I don't have any creative drawing ability of my own. And I asked it to make me a picture of like what I'm describing as the average user and then the average developer and the average tester. And the picture that it made me for the average developer was a white guy with a beard in a black hoodie holding a MacBook wearing jeans. And I just thought it was so funny because the AI also makes assumptions and has its own biases about users and things like that.
What did the average tester look like?
A woman who's white, she has round glasses and kind of shoulder length, lightly curly, gingery hair. A lot more smiley than the developer. Also just in a black t-shirt, but yes, yeah, seems more friendly and more like a real person. Than the one of the developer looks a bit more like a stock image. I don't know how to...
Okay. Well, at least the testers are friendly. I think that's good.
Who else did we have join the stage? I can't see your name. I'm sorry.
Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hi there. Sorry, I need to unmute. Yeah, so conscious of time, just quickly, I just wanted to add a little bit to the AI discussion. I've been looking for quite a while now, lots of tools, but the one that's caught my eye is a company called Optimind. And I think it is important that the...
I don't know which particular comments you're going to read out, Rosie.
I'll read them out after Mark, I think.
Yeah, okay. So it is important that the code that's generated is robust. So I've kind of stopped relying on LLMs for quite a while now. And this tool is a tool that takes prompts, but the code that gets generated is covered by an engine that they've written. And it's over the months I've been using, it's become more and more robust. And you can really rely on it quite nicely. So the only thing you have to really concern yourself with is the quality of the prompts themselves. So obviously there's quite a bit of work that goes into that, but they've also been working, hard on that. So yeah, I think it is a bit of a waste of time at the moment using LLMs to generate code. That's more for the developers. As test automators, we want the playwright code that gets generated to be as robust as possible. And that there's a lot of value using NLP, natural language processing, for generating the test cases, but not so much for generating the playwright code.
Are you then every time when you have a new test, are you always adding it to it? Or how's the flow with Optimind? Because I looked at them and I see the prompts, but I'm just are you every time you want to run it new, are you creating new prompts? Or is it also, can you rerun what you had and you just built on top of it? That would be the maintainability.
We're doing mixed things. So we've got an existing test case bank, and you can't really just copy and paste that in. You can't copy and paste requirements necessarily or anything. You've got to be quite structured, and there's a bit of a dependency tree thing that you have to do. So if you log in and you go to certain tabs, it's nice to structure your tests in a very logical way. And I get a lot of success from that. And then obviously things change in the UI, and it's got a repair function, which is quite neat. So, and it's got a self-discovery feature as well. It's got MCP, new MCP option as well. So we're looking at trying to build a knowledge base and to generate the prompts in a more intelligent way using some of our documentation. So there's we've got a few AI engineers in our company, but I'm trying to stop them from writing news. I'm trying to stop them from reinventing the wheel, because there is a product out there that seems to be doing this quite nicely.
That's a good idea. And just because I find these tools so interesting, and I hear from first time who actually ever uses this, is it then, so when the tool creates that, is it then also executed in the tool, or are you adding the code to your repository?
The code belongs to them. It's in that you can't actually touch the code, which I like as well. You don't want to touch the code. It's robust, so it's generated by them. You can see it actually, and you can actually run the set code locally if you want to. But it does
You can't edit it, basically. So if there is, for example, let's say a selector is changing, you have to prompt it and tell it that the selector is changing. You cannot just go in there and change the selector.
Yeah, and there's an auto fix thing, which you still have to review. So that's the workaround for that kind of change. Sorry, I'm conscious of time. But I recommend looking into it a bit more.
Can I reach out to you, Mark? Because I would love to hear more, because I find super interesting. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Then I will take that off the listening test, because I find it super interesting. Thank you.
Awesome. Do let us know if you learn anything. Share any feedback. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
I think the prompting is interesting. So, part of AI is we have to get better at prompting, and maybe we're not quite there yet. I feel like a lot of people make it up as they go along. I know I do. Whether I should admit that or not is another question, but it's probably true for everyone. Thank you for joining on stage.
Thank you.
I'm just going to pick a few comments from the chat, because there's quite a few, and it's good to call them out and kind of log them for future prosperity so that they don't disappear. AJ Wilson says, I've been reading the research from Google and Microsoft on vibe coding quality. Vibe coding rarely considers future growth or modularity, making it unsuitable for larger projects and so for bad for scalability. Which Ujwal then says, I tried vibe automation. And then AJ says, spaghetti code. Alexandra Romanov says, vibe coding can produce quick results, but then you need to have knowledge to maintain it. And I think I saw a comment a bit further down from Christine about like human in the loop. And I think, you know, this is a big part of AI and something that I'm definitely building into MOT is that we need the people, we need the human knowledge to feed the AI, or the AI kind of dies is kind of what I understand from it. So to say that like our work is for humans is dead doesn't quite match up yet, I think. Dean says, I had to take a McQuaig mental and agility test for a job application. I asked ChatGPT to help me train. It gave me really crazy questions, making absolutely no sense. You know, that's quite a common one. Mark mentions using Octomind. I will be adding those links to the observatory on the Ministry of Testing website. So do check back there if you're looking for links. Gary Hawke says, I feel Gen AI principles are under the assumption that if you feed it enough information, the output can be predicted if only our users were AI users. What else? Michael Close says, I see vibe coding is in the glossary, but there's no sign of vibe testing. That is probably true. And if anyone wants to drop me a definition of vibe testing, then we can get it out there. The MOT glossary is community generated, and we kind of, you know, rely on people sending us terms, and we'll get it updated as quickly as we can. Emily O'Connor says, we experimented with Hugging Face as an LLM judge. So yeah, interesting. I think I'll leave it at that for now. Mariam, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I think we had a great session, and I'll take advantage of just 15 seconds to invite you to the very first Ministry of Testing Source meetup. It will be tomorrow at 2 p.m. We've got a brilliant lineup for this kick-off session. The amazing Raoul Parwar will be joining us with a historic tool or trap, a tester's guide to picking AI tools wisely. And I am excited to welcome my fellow Tunisian gay, the wonderful Jinan Hedfi, one of the first, if not the first podcaster in Tunisia talking about software testing. So I'll drop the session, the link in here, and I would love to see you in there. And I think this is it, Rosie. So thank you for coming back, and I'll let you finish the session, Rosie.
Thank you very much. And yeah, big shout out to all the meetups that are happening. I have to admit, I'm slightly overwhelmed with all of them. There were four this week, Manchester, Berlin, Cambridge, and Barcelona, I think. And it's literally impossible to keep up at the moment, which is a great sign, but it's overwhelming. And a special shout out to Christine for doing a pitch at a meetup as well. I appreciate that so much. It's so cool to see. We provided some slide decks and she just went off and did it and surprised us as a result. And it's great to see the photos coming. If you're looking for any meetups, ministryoftesting.com/meetups, you can see a list of all the locations. But if you're looking for upcoming meetups, if you go to /events, then you'll see all our events, which include meetups and test bash and whatnot. But yeah, thank you very much, everyone. I guess until next week, we'll catch up then.